And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 137. It's Thursday night. That means we're previewing the next week's Fab, week 10 Fab preview coming up for you here with some news, notes, and more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Today's one of those hanging in there days, as you know, Bubba. One of the little blooms went to urgent care with me for 3 hours this evening. Had a spike to 103 fever and ear infection and all that fun stuff. So that was my evening, but still made the show. It's a commitment to the show. So I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
I didn't do the emergency room. You're battling the cough. I'm battling sinus issues from allergies. So we're hanging in there on Thursday night. But it seems like it's a tradition on most evenings, at least Thursdays, where we're tired at the end of the week. But then the show comes on, we're ready to rock and roll, and it kind of brings life to the deal. So it's going to be fun. This past week of Fab was kind of boring, but we'll have some fun stuff to talk about here. We'll have some news to talk about. And more importantly, just make sure if you're teaching any kids, you know, your son's got T-ball, teach them the infield fly rule and interference, apparently, because that's a big deal. They still don't understand in the big league level, at least the umpires don't.
Yeah, so we're recording maybe an hour after the end of this, that Orioles White Sox game with the infield fly. I'm sure if anyone is on Twitter, they've already seen it at this point. But wow, what a bad call. Craig Kimbrel, 2-pitch save. Gotta love it. Save's a save, though, in fantasy. Let's go.
Yep, save is a save in fantasy. Getting those more often than wins, I'll tell you that much. So that's fun. As if you guys listen to Tuesday's show, Jack Flaherty, another great start, still zero wins on the season. So it's just it's a wild one out there, everybody.
I broke my own rule of tweeting about a pitcher during his game was still going. So I was all happy that Ryan Feltner pitched well against Oakland. I think went six scoreless, six Ks. It's like the 18th time I've streamed him, and it finally worked out. Left the game 4-0 lead, and then did not get the win. Actually, that turned out to be an awesome game. Mason Miller proved that he was human. Gave up 5 runs, 3 earned, and I think it was a 12-inning game. So
12, I believe so. Yeah, it's a wild one. 10-9 finish. And that one, JJ
for a Colorado Oakland game. That's about as exciting as it gets, right?
Yep. That's fun stuff right there. So we'll have to figure that out. Daz Cameron's back and hit a home run on Thursday for anybody.
I did not know Daz Cameron was still around. Yeah, he went deep in the bottom of the ninth off Jalen Beeks.
He went deep, so Cameron's on the board. Estuary Ruiz went to the ILS, was not on the list. But since you brought up the game, I was getting notes ready for first pitch tonight. And Daz had 6 homers, 8 stolen bases, and a .307 average at AAA. Huh. He was playing well. So I'm not saying go out and add him. We'll probably talk about him in FAB potentially, but if he plays every game this weekend, he's at least possibly spec worthy of deeper formats. I'm just going to put that one out there now. The pedigree's been there, so maybe it's one of those Adele type things where he finally something clicks, is what I'm trying to say with Daz Cameron. So we'll see.
Chat's already rocking. So hello to everyone in the chat. Joe, Kevin, Gialdi, Michael, Steven.
Yeah, Steven's got a good one here. Steven says, I had Webb, Jones, and Skeens leave games in W situations for their bullpens to blow all 3 wins. That's all in the same series, by the way. So that's good. That's real good stuff there. But yeah, that's the name of the game this year. If you can survive and get wins, kudos to you. So, all right, let's talk some news and notes here for you. We kind of hinted at it on Tuesday when John Gray left his start, but he's officially placed on the IL with a groin injury. They're still calling it mild for now. There's been no timetable in that situation. So it's a hold situation, I believe, for now, because he's been so darn good. But I just wanted to bring it up in case anything's changed in your mind.
It sounds mild for however far we can trust a team and what they say with injuries these days. But dude, the Rangers, man, their IL rotation right now is John Gray,
pretty good,
Evaldi, DeGrom, Scherzer, and then you could go number 5, Cody Bradford or Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
Good hell. And then their starting rotation is it's Dane Dunning, Andrew Heaney, Jose Urania, and Michael Lorenz. I think Evaldi's coming back this week. So
he's supposed to be back really soon.
Yeah, probably just fill in for Gray. But yes, I agree. John Gray is a hold. We talked about him on the Tuesday show. We were both gloating by how much we have him on teams. And of course, that happens. So he's a hold, given that it sounds pretty mild.
Yep, pretty mild on that one. What was interesting, I think it's a deserved move, but maybe surprising many, is Captain Jack Sawinski is heading to AAA as he got demoted, as he's hitting around 174 this season with 4 home runs and 5 stolen bases, over 157 plate appearances. It's been a rough go for Captain Jack. Many have talked about his approach at the plate changing. His strikeouts are less, but he's not hitting it well type situation. I think in this era of baseball, there's a lot of guys that swing hard and swing and miss more, but hit with more power. Might want to go back to that. We'll see. But for now, Captain Jack's gone. I dropped him in places the last few weeks anyways. But any thoughts on Captain Jack being in AAA now?
No, I mean, he's demoted. So now he's what, like first officer Jack instead of captain?
That's true. He's first mate.
First mate Jack. Yeah. I don't know who's filling. I mean, more Rowdy and Connor Joe time. I don't know. Yeah,
it's not a big upgrade because Rowdy's been horrific as well. So yes. Yeah, it's bad all around in that scenario. Maybe it just means like Oliveras and Taylor just get to play every day. That'd be cool.
Oliveras would be, I mean, I've said this for years, but yes, the free Edward Oliveras train is still alive. Maybe this helps free that up. It was weird with Sawinski, man. Like, this is actually the best plate skills that we've seen from Jack all, I mean, throughout his career. Carry rate was down. Walks were still fine. It was just the dude had 6 barrels in 157 plate appearances. Did not expect that from Jack Sawinski.
Yep, not at all. Edgardo in the chat says Sawinski and Carroll went to the same hitting guru. That's fair. That's for sure. Kevin Hastings in the chat. I have leagues where I'm at or near the top in K's, ERA, whip, and innings pitch, but I'm at the bottom in wins. It's rough out there. Yeah, definitely is. It's a league of survival of the fittest, as one might say. Speaking of survival of the fittest, John Means goes back to the IL with a forearm strain. He returned just a bit ago from elbow surgery, obviously. Had a couple outings, back on the IL. This doesn't feel good at all.
No, it doesn't, and probably some wasted fab money there, given the we talked about how bad he looked on the rehab assignment and how bad the numbers were, and then Means came out, and I think it was his first start back in the majors, like 7 or 8 Ks, something like that. But yeah, not great. And I don't know who fills in for who's that fifth starter in Baltimore.
That's a
Grayson's
team
back.
Grayson, he's not looking good in his return. So that was a rough one on Thursday. It was his second start back, but didn't look good. If we're looking at Baltimore's rotation, yeah, it's Burns, Kramer, Bradish, Rodriguez. They called up Jonathan Healy. He can be a long man that could fit into the rotation. I think Cole Irvin slides back in. He was pitching there for a while. So I think Cole Irvin slides in.
That makes sense.
So, and he was pitching pretty well, actually, for Cole Irvin standards and whatnot. So I think he could be deeper league streamable, is the way I'll put it, from time to time. This guy, take him. Yeah, that doesn't look good. Bloomfield's looking at his stat line. He's like, I don't know about that.
A 109 whip. Which is good. 109 whip, which is good, and throws a ton of strikes, 4% walk rate. So that's why the whip is good, but doesn't miss bass, strike out anybody. It's I don't know. I feel like Cole Irvin would be just another streamer in the pile of streamers that
it's
are
like
out there.
Toy Story. It's the box of misfit toys. Have fun with this, folks. Adam's Digest says Joey Bart hype or no. Bart hit a grand slam off the Giants.
I was gonna rub that one in today.
No, it was great. McCutchen goes deep and Bart goes deep in the same game. That was awesome. I've liked Bart ever since he went to Pittsburgh. He's playing every day. He looks good. He looks motivated. He's catcher too viable. I'll say that much. I don't know if it'll last all year, but he's definitely worth running with for now. I'll say that much.
Yep.
But something to go off of there. And then Povich, ConKCO says, did he say Povich? I have not seen anything on Povich yet. I'll say that much. I know they discussed him potentially. Cade Povich is who they're talking about. He's in the Baltimore AAA-er.
Maury Povich plays baseball.
No, it's Cade Povich. I don't think he's coming up yet. I think they would have brought him up a while ago if they were interested in him. But they could. I think they'll go with Cole Irvin for now. That's my 2 cents. Eloy Jimenez. This is not taped from previous year's shows. Eloy Jimenez was running the bases and has a hamstring injury. He's going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. At least 4 to 6 weeks was the actual terminology on this one. And he wasn't hitting that well to begin with. I'm saying drop. That's my world. He's a drop for me. I have him in a 12. I picked him up off waivers, thought I was awesome. He played well for like 2 weeks and went to hell in a handbasket. So I'll be dropping Eloy Jimenez this Sunday.
Yeah, that's a tough one because that was that unopposed like $100 bid on Eloy, wasn't it?
Yeah. That so Pete, now my league looks smart all of a sudden. So yes.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, that shouldn't play a factor in your decision making. You'd need to drop them. And it's the White Sox, man. I could name some names as potential replacements, but let's not.
Well, they called up Deloach and he's not even playing. They're playing Dominic Fletcher over him. So it's just an absolute disaster on the whole front right there. So yeah, I'm dropping Eloy. Have fun with that, everybody.
Yep.
Xander Bogaerts talked about on Tuesday, injured his shoulder. Now he's going to be out for at least 2 months. Fractured shoulder, I should say. No surgery required, which is a plus, but he's going to be out at least 2 months. He says he hopes to play again this season. So that makes you say 2 months at the best, which in my world, that means you can say bye-bye to Xander Bogaerts on your roster, unless you have IL spots.
That's drop city, for sure. And Luis Arraez continues to, well, hit the hell out of the ball.
Tony Gwynn part two.
He's been awesome lately, but playing basically second base. I think played first today.
He's first base eligible now.
Did you know, I didn't realize this, the Padres signed David Peralta or picked up or promoted?
They called him up. Yeah, they signed him like a minor league deal, and they called him up. He's hitting .213 in AAA when they called him up.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe the freight train is viable against right-handed pitching, but not if he's hitting .213 in the minors this year, so... Yeah. Scratch that.
You never know. He might figure it out. Maybe he's getting loose or something, but I'm not overly invested in that situation. Just sucks that X is going out. Now it makes that Arraez deal look so much better than at first glance. Like, where are they going to fit everybody? Well, as we always say with pitchers, it kind of makes with hitters as well. Just get the guys and the pieces will fall into place one sad way or another. Edgardo in the chat says Rendon is more reliable than Eloy. No. It's pretty funny, actually.
Not wrong. No, I mean, no. my kids' sicknesses are more reliable than Eloy.
That's true. Michael Cicchini says, did the Twins and Sox trade off training staffs? I was actually thinking today, like, who's been a better fantasy player, Eloy or Buxton? It's got to be Buxton, but it's closer than
like
it should
this
be.
This season?
No, just in general.
Just in general?
Buxton had that one big year. It feels like other than that, they're both trading times at the resort, it feels like. So, and I don't know how that one's going.
I would also put the, speaking of training staffs, to Edgardo's, or sorry, to Michael's comment. How about the Angels training staff telling Zach Neto, you're good, man. Your elbow's fine. And then I guess we should probably mention Zach Neto. It sounds like we don't know yet, but it sounds like that's going to be a tough, I think it was his elbow injury.
It's his elbow. Elbow soreness. Time. Elbow soreness. He's had elbow injuries before. It was weird, though, the quotes after the game on Wednesday. Neto was concerned because of his previous injuries. The training staff, after testing, told him there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
That was like, what? Usually it's the other way around where the player's like, I'm fine, let me play. No, it's like the opposite, which means, yeah, he'll probably go out and break his arm. So it's a weird dynamic there. But speaking of Daz Cameron, just real quick for fun, I think it was Eric Samulski tweeted it out when Cameron went deep. He's like, Cameron feels like he should be playing for the Angels. They have Adele. They have Willie Calhoun. They have like all these, Kevin Pillar, like all these things going on where he'd fit right into that Angels roster. That's actually winning baseball games.
John Singleton, trade that one.
Yes, that'd be good. That'd be fun. All right. I'll do it for a little bit of news and notes of late. Obviously, there's always much more news. If you need any of that information, it's all out there. You can check out my work or somebody else's. There's tons of news to keep you posted. But let's talk Fab Bloomfield Week 10 Fab Preview. Show us what you got with the big screen here, and then we'll rock and roll with the schedules, CBS Most Added, two start pitchers, and have some fun.
So we've got typical rundown. We'll go team by team. But real quick, Pirates and Texas are the only two teams with five games. And there's a good chunk of teams with seven. So that matters. Two games every week over a full season certainly matters. The Chicago White Sox are bringing up the rear in terms of hitting. I did find a way, by the way, to incorporate lefty-righty. So I just didn't have time to put it in there. But maybe next week we'll do we'll do lefty righty team hitting rankings. But I think that's useful. It's crazy to me to see the second worst lineup in baseball by WRC Plus right now is the Cincinnati Reds. I could have guessed 15 other teams before the season would be this bad, but it's wild to see the Reds be that bad. I know injuries have killed them, but still, a team you feared to now a team you stream against.
Yep, you stream against them even at home for the most part. And like even Matt Waldron only gave up 2 runs today, which says quite a bit about their situation. A couple things that, like, they're not bad teams, but the fact the Rangers are down to a average team of the 100 WRC plus is telling. Seeing Atlanta down to 109, basically, like, that's one of their lowest. Guardians have come back to 103 after their hot start. Like, that's kind of one reason I love looking at the past month, either by splits or by team, because there's so many ups and downs that go with these teams that, you know, there'll be weeks where you're like, oh, I can't go near these guys, but that's not the way it, like, works all season long. You got to pay attention and realize, like, on the Fab Wire, at least, if you're going to stream certain pitchers, there might be guys where you'd think, heck no, never, and might not be that bad after all. Like, the A's were hot for a bit. They're cooling down quite a bit now. So lots of things like that.
Seattle is now a league average team. Same WRC plus as Texas, which even as recently as a few weeks ago, I would not have thought that. So they're getting a little bit hotter, even though Julio is...
He's got moved up 6th in the lineup.
Hit 6 today.
In the lineup. Yep.
Deservedly so. Deservedly so.
He's getting the Corbin Carroll treatment all of a sudden.
Yep.
So that's pretty wild stuff there, guys. You can't drop and you probably can't bench very much. And Carroll, I think I could bench at this point because I'm just not expecting him. But J-Rod still feels like the monster week could be coming, but who knows? He might be hurt for all we know. Who knows what's going on there? So we'll wait and see. Let's talk schedules though. We'll go team by team as usual. And we'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have 6 games this week, 3 at the Texas Rangers, 3 at the New York Mets. And we get actually 2 against Texas, 4 at the Mets. I apologize for that. 3 lefties and 3 righties on the week. So pretty split down the middle on this one.
Yeah, which isn't good for Jock Peterson, who is like, I think it was playing really well. Curlin tweet. Probably was a Curlin tweet.
It was Curlin. Yeah.
One of the best hitters like in baseball quietly this season. But tough to start Jock in a 3-3 split week. One interesting thing with the Diamondbacks is Geraldo Perdomo is coming back somewhat soon. I don't have an exact date, but it sounds like that's at least maybe a couple weeks away and would take Kevin Newman's spot. It's interesting how Blaze Alexander has basically just disappeared. Kevin Newman is the everyday shortstop, but I don't know. Geraldo Perdomo probably isn't stash worthy or whatever, but like that will be a middle infield option for you in hopefully a couple weeks time. So just a heads up since we're talking Diamondbacks.
That's a good call on that one for sure. In the chat, Edgardo says, we're just talking about RC plus Padres killing righties, dreadful versus lefties. Yeah. There's some scenarios like that get pretty, pretty interesting. Like the Mets, we talked about dreadful versus lefties. Atlanta Braves, they have 7 games on the docket this week, all at home in Atlanta, which is nice to see. They get 4 against the Nationals, 3 against the Oakland Athletics. This is one of the better weeks. Well, it's the Braves, though, so what are you going to do? But good week to have Braves hitters, I'd hope.
Unless it's Austin Riley. I know you've been on 11, that. I know you've been 11 on that.
Straight games now. 11.
Yeah. I have him in a DC, and he's been in my lineup the whole time. I just don't have another third baseman healthy, but, like, it's been – yeah, I don't understand that. The Braves, if we're talking about last 30-day splits, the Braves have quietly been horrendous over the last month. I don't put too much stock into that. I think they'll turn it around. But Led by Ronald Acuna, which I do have a bit of self-promotion here. I have a deep dive article coming out tomorrow on Baseball HQ about Acuna. It's going to be free. Thanks. So no subscription required if you want to read that one. So anyway. That's all I got for the Braves. Yeah, there's not really anything pickup worthy here. It's the Braves.
Yep. Baltimore Orioles, they have 6 games coming up here, all at home, 3 versus the Red Sox, 3 versus the Rays, 6 right-handed pitchers. So, Ryan, who are we adding this week? It's your boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, O'Hearn.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah, namesake. Yeah. Dude, the Baltimore has played all righties the last 6
A lot.
Games.
A lot.
And then 6 more. I don't know what they're doing this weekend. But yes, it continues to be Ryan O'Hearn week, who is hitting third every day against righties in one of the best lineups in baseball. So that is, I keep saying interesting, but that is interesting to me. He should be rostered in all 15s and most 12s. Jorge Mateo, someone commented about Jorge Mateo in the chat earlier today or earlier in the show. Jorge Mateo is playing second base pretty much every day, hitting eighth or ninth, but running like crazy. So if you need bags, Jorge Mateo is playing and running, and that's a recipe for success there.
Yeah, Mateo went deep on Thursday night. Looking at O'Hearn, 96% rostered in OCs, but Mateo is only 26% rostered in OCs, which is pretty good, of course.
And one last O'Hearn, just real quick, is the Ryan O'Hearn giveth and Ryan Mountcastle taketh away. Ryan Mountcastle quietly is playing like half the time lately. I feel like that's a player, at least in 15 teamers in corner infield, that you plug and play, but he's not playing that much. So consider at least benching Ryan Mountcastle for other better options.
That's one thing we did see last year with Mountcastle. When everyone's healthy, the platoon game comes into play. Boston Red Sox, they have 7 games this week. They play 3 at the Baltimore Orioles and then 4 at home against the Detroit Tigers. For now, they got 2 lefties and 5 righties on the docket. That could change with John Means' situation, obviously. We don't know who's pitching there, but pretty loaded. They still get Burns and Scooble throughout the week. You can throw Rodriguez in there if you want, but interesting schedule for Boston.
Yeah, one of the tougher schedules. Good God, Detroit. We'll get there. God, that's a tough schedule.
Yeah.
Boston lefties are attackable this week. Willy Abreu, I think, hit a home run yesterday and is hitting second every day. Yesterday is in Wednesday. Is hitting second every day against righties. So I'm going after Willy Abreu where available this week with 5 righties.
And just because there's 5 righties, do not go pick up Dominic Smith. I'm going to throw that out there real quick. So
no,
don't do that, please. All right, Chicago Cubs, they have 7 games as well this week. They have 4 at the Milwaukee Brewers and 3 at home against Cincinnati. 2 lefties, 5 right-handed hitters. Like, Talkman's the big name that comes to mind if you're looking to stream, but it feels like most of the main players, like Pete Crow's back in AAA, mm-hmm. It feels like the main guys are accounted for.
That was the main news this week, was Pete Crow Armstrong going back to the minors. Nico Hoerner's back playing. He kind of got the Austin Riley treatment,
yep.
the ghost IL stint, though never on the IL, but Nico is back. It's just general comment about the Cubs. They pretty much have the exact same lineup as they did last year. They were one of the best lineups in baseball last season. And right now, I don't want to feel like they've been one of the worst, but they do have a 9 like league average WRC plus. So maybe I'm hating on them a little bit too much, but it's just interesting how you can have basically the exact same players 2 years in a row and have that different fortune. Shota Imanaga needs some wins from this lineup.
Yep. Ian Happ has been horrible. I dropped him last week in 112.
He's turning around. He had a good week. I think stole a base today, a couple doubles either today or yesterday.
Yeah, if doubles were a stat. Chicago White Sox, they had 6 6 games this week. 3 at home versus the Toronto Blue Jays, 3 at the Milwaukee Brewers, 5 righties. If you want a Gavin Sheets in your life, I guess go for it. It'd be nice if Deloach was playing every day. That'd be at least someone to keep an eye on. But I don't know. The White Sox, just outside of like Tommy Pham, maybe Andrew Vaughn. There's not a lot I like there.
Oh, Young.
The catcher.
Corey Lee. Yes, Corey Lee has been a good second catcher option. We've been talking about him the last couple of weeks. We touched on the Eloy news at the top, and there's no depth to this White Sox lineup. So even though it's a 5 righty week, I don't know, maybe you're toking Gavin Sheets bid as a backup somewhere.
And I won't completely trash it. You said Paul DeJong. He's actually in 15s. Like, that's a solid shortstop middle infielder. Like, with Zach Neto going down and some other guys, DeJong's probably their best power asset they have, which maybe says more about the White Sox than Paul DeJong. But he's been serviceable. He's hitting like 240-ish, 7 homers, couple steals. Like, he's been serviceable.
Yeah, I wasn't joking when I said DeJong. However, yeah. Like, dude, the skills are terrible. The skills are awful. 35% K rate. So, like, he should not even be hitting 240. And really, the power, seven home runs on eight barrels, that's not a great ratio. So, like, the underlying power is not supporting what we're seeing from DeJong on the surface. I would have backup plans in place if you're relying on Paul DeJong.
Paul DeDong. Cincinnati Reds, they have six games on the slate next week. Three at home versus St. Louis Cardinals. Three at the Chicago Cubs. So three in Great American, three on the road in Wrigley. Five right-handed pitchers coming your way. Is it Mike Ford time? We got Martini playing with Fraley day-to-day right now. Martini went deep on Thursday. I'm just not excited about those kind of players, though.
Yeah, it's a decent schedule.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the talent. Like, so I don't know. I'll admit I don't know much about Jacob Herdebees, but
he's leading off. Yeah, is enticing.
It is. So he'll lead off probably four or five times this week, but doesn't have a counting stat through 16 plate appearances in the majors, and hit weird was promoted from what the hell. Herdebees has gone up three levels in 30 plate appearances at the minors this year. Maybe that's rehab related, but I don't know. Last year had one home run in 137 plate appearances with 12 steals. So maybe a stolen base source, Jacob Herdebees, if I'm even pronouncing that correctly, but not something I'm all that interested in.
Yeah, he's hitting 250 with a home run and a steal so far. So deeper formats, I could see stream worthiness, but I'm not jumping out to go get him. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games this week, three at Colorado, three at home versus Washington. Pretty nice schedule, and a rare one where they have four lefties and two righties, so a heavy lefty week, which we really don't see that often in the bigs. The one thing I'll say, and I know it's Coors, and I know I'm going to regret this, Austin Gomber has actually been really good.
I know, like all of them have been good.
Gomber and Quantrill have been outstanding. I've had to say it on back-to-back first pitch pods, recapping their May starts, and they've been very good. So I'm just, the point I'm trying to make is I don't think it's as much of a walk in the park. Gomber, Feltner, Ty Block will be. But the first two, unless it goes full Coors, it's not as obvious as you think.
And are there, let's see, any righty bats we might want to look at?
David, we talked about Fry.
Yeah, David Fry has been and playing everywhere except catcher, yet catcher eligible. I like the David Fry call. I think that's really good. Not a week to deploy my man, Will Brennan. Nope. Had to fit him in every week, but really, really good schedule. It's not just the Coors. It's Washington on the back half with Patrick Corbin.
One to potentially look at is they called up Jonathan Rodriguez. Good numbers at AAA. Yeah. He's one for like seven to start out here with an RBI. Nothing to get too excited about, but wouldn't be surprised to see him play four or five games next week and kind of see what he can do as well.
Yep.
Colorado Rockies, they have six games on tap next week, three at home versus Cleveland, obviously. Then three at the Los Angeles Dodgers, which features Buehler, who's not been good, Stone, who's not bad, and a Cy Young candidate in Yamamoto. Five righties in those six starts for Colorado.
Yes. Buehler has been better lately, hasn't he?
He's got control. No.
Struck out seven, no walks, three hits, six scoreless innings against Cincinnati in his most recent start, his third start of the year. So I guess jury's still out on Walker Buehler for this week. I'm still interested in a Jordan Beck pickup. Your guy is back, Chris Bryant. I know you recommend him. You love him.
I'm keeping this show PG, so we're going to keep it that way.
We had your thoughts on Gabe Kapler last episode, so I'm trying to bait you into a KB.
No, he's not worth my time.
Okay. All
right. I added Jordan Beck everywhere I could last week. I got on that train early.
The big thing with Beck is he is playing, like we can say Rocky's gonna Rocky, but even though it's hitting seventh, eighth, whatever, Jordan Beck is playing every day and against righties and lefties. So
starting to hit, running a lot, so I'll take my chances there.
Agreed.
So that's about it though when it comes to waiver wires and Rockies. And if you have Chris Bryant, just drop him for your own kids. You don't have to stress out about
there
it.
There we go. I had to get that in, didn't you?
Detroit Tigers, they have six games this week, three against the Pittsburgh Pirates, 3 at the Boston Red Sox. 6 right-handed pitchers in every game, and you get to start the week with it's 2 versus the Pirates, 4 at Boston. But you get to start out your 2 Pittsburgh games, Jared Jones and Paul Skenes. Buckle up, boys.
And then Pivetta. Pivetta's been awesome lately.
And Hauk.
And then Hauk. Cooper Criswell, we kind of like. He's not dominant, but then
not a big strikeout guy, but yeah. And then Bayo.
Dude, so that group that Detroit plays against averages a 24% strikeout minus walk, which is dead red on our sheet here. I think that's the toughest schedule that we've seen so far this year. And that's not even weighing like Detroit's own ineptness, whatever the word is. Yeah. It's going to be a bad week to be a Detroit Tiger.
It's rough. And it's kind of like I think we joked last week because you didn't have all the Skenes and Jones data in yet because it's still kind of accumulating. And we're like, oh, I bet you that would have been a lot different for maybe the Giants or whoever it was. It's starting to show up real quick now. Like that's showing.
I think you have to bench everyone except Riley Green, maybe Torque swinging a little bit better. I've got Wensiel Perez in a bunch of leagues. I don't think I'm starting him.
I don't like the first half of the week. I'll take my chances on the second half just because Criswell and Bailey, who I like, are more contact guys than strikeout guys. So I'll take my chances in that regard. If you needed them, I wouldn't force Tigers this week. Let's put it that way. But
yes,
yeah, correct. I agree. It's a tough start week for us in the first half of the week. I'd hope you'd have better options, but maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Houston Astros, they have 7 games this week. Oh, my. They get 4 at Seattle, 3 at home versus Minnesota. Tough K to walk percentage, but all 7 games, right-handed pitchers. John Singleton, because the only thing I'll say is Jose Abreu's back early next week. And if that screws up the John Singleton train, which I mentioned in my write-up yesterday, Singleton's out of options. So I think it's Loperfido going to minor leagues. That's where I'm going with that because he's got options. Singleton will get picked up immediately if he gets DFA'd. So I think Singleton sticks around. I'm just curious to see how the Astros do this, especially with the lefty-righty situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that John Singleton train, quote-unquote, is not much of a train. I 5 homers, I'll give you that. But I even with the 7 righties, it's a tough – it's not a Detroit schedule, but it's a – you get those four of the best Mariners pitchers. Really, they're top 4, right? And then Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, like – dude, that is
tough week.
That is a tough week. That'll be a fun series between Seattle and Houston. Just selfishly watching that. Chaz McCormick is back. We'll see how much he plays against an all-righty schedule. So that's something to look at. I don't know what Jake Myers' ownership is. Should be universally rostered, but he has quietly been one of the best hitters in the majors. What do we got? Why are we laughing?
In NFBC OCs, Jake Myers is 13% rostered.
In 12 teamers?
Yep.
Wow.
13%.
So Jake Myers is hitting 300, 5 homers, 2 steals, but major improvements in his strikeout rate, 10% barrel rate. The power's there. Gonna play all 7 games this week against, a tough schedule. But Jake Myers, that's a pickup in 12s, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, he's definitely a pickup, even if it's not for this week, for the future. In the month of May alone, he's hitting 375 with 2 homers and 2 steals, only striking out 15.6% of the time. Like, dudes, he's got a 202 WRC plus, so he's playing really, really well. 50% hard hit rate in May. So, yeah, I'm with you on Jake Myers. McCormick's a guy that I was actually going to ask you, like, maybe not in 15s, but 12s and less, there should be a discussion on potential drop with Chaz McCormick. I'd give him another week maybe, but yeah, I think he's still hurt. And there's some reports I saw out there that he rushed back because he saw he was probably going to lose his job.
Yeah, I think you got to give him – I mean, I don't think he's a drop now. He just came back from the IL. I think you got to give him a week and see how he does, but B, see how much he plays. I agree it could be a rush situation if he's still hurt and we see the same Chaz McCormick that we saw earlier this year. That's an easy drop, but – I think you give him the benefit of the doubt for one more week and see how he does coming off the IL.
Yeah, just wanted to monitor, though. I don't think he's just an auto play guys right now because it's not pretty, and he's still not even – it's only been a few days since he came back, but he didn't play in every game since he's returned. It's been a platoon deal. But, again, if Loperfido goes down, now they don't have a lefty outfielder essentially. So that could change things as well.
Michael in the chat says, Myers is my Captain Jack. First mate Jack replacement target. That would be, in my opinion – a hell of an upgrade.
That would be an amazing upgrade. At least a guy that plays every day, let alone produces. That's a win-win all around. This one's for Gialdi. The Kansas City Royals, 7 games this week, 4 at the Minnesota Twins, 3 at home versus San Diego Padres, 7 righties on the docket as well. I'll keep banging it from the rooftops until someone wants to actually make it happen. But Michael Massey's still only 43% rostered in 12s. That's like a phenomenal middle infield in 12. I just say this because I'm getting sick of writing some of the same guys every week in my
travel. I know, we talk about Mount Massey every week.
It's like, guys, like he's up to 43% now, which is nice. But holy shnikes. And then I'll also say, like, I know we're only using NFBC numbers right now, but I got feedback from my article last week. Why isn't Tommy Pham ever in here? I said he was, but he's like 98% rostered. Someone made me look. In Yahoo, like, Pham's like around 20%. Like, people, go check your leagues. That's all I'm going to say. Check your individual leagues because you might have some steals on there. But, sorry, back to the scheduled program. Kansas City Royals, Bloomquist.
Bloomquist. Willie Bloomquist.
Bloomfield, sorry. I'm all over the place. I got all ramped up talking Royals.
Yeah, you got a little excited there with Michael Massey, who I agree. Like, it's the skills. It's a 14% strikeout rate, which is awesome. He does not swing and miss. Doesn't walk, but I don't really care. 15 runs, 20 RBI, and 100 plate appearances. 107. Like, that's really damn good. Hitting fifth against righties. And so 7 righties for Kansas City. That is awesome. Kyle Isbell, if you're looking for a 15-team, 5 outfielder, I think Kyle Isbell, even though he's going to hit ninth, I think he'll play center field every day. And this better be MJ Melendez week. Like, this... The string is actually a bit longer than I originally thought.
It's bad.
If MJ Melendez is going to turn it around, this is going to be the week. Again, the schedule is not soft. Some good opposing starting pitchers, but 7 righties, MJ's got to do his thing this week.
Yeah, MJ was a drop for me in recent weeks. It's been bad enough in 12s. He's just not cutting anymore. Yeah, he's down to 39% rostered in OCs right now. He's left for benches and waiver wires for me, but this is the week. I know, tough pitchers, but 7 righties. You know, it's kind of S or get off the pot type stuff on this one.
Yep.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, fun team, putting up runs, been great to stack in DFS because they're cheap. 6 games this week, tough schedule though. They get the Yankees at home for 3 and then at Seattle for 3. 2 lefties, 4 righties, Cortez, Eel, Rodon, Wu, Miller, Castillo. That is brutal.
That is very brutal. And Luis Gil, I'll take the L on. I don't know how long he will hold up over a full season, but man, has he been awesome. Angels wise, I don't see any pickups here outside of the obvious mascot. If you're listening to the show and you don't have, and Rengifo's on your league's waiver wire, not sure what you're doing listening to the show. Yeah. But we've got
and or follow either one of us on Twitter.
That's right. We staunchly defend our guy every time he does something. So I don't know. No, like Willie Calhoun does not interest me. Kyron Paris is playing some second base. Mickey Moniak's platooning. Kevin Pillar is hitting the hell out of the ball, still only playing half the time. So like even Kevin Pillar against this schedule, that's a tough start. In my opinion, even though he has been hot.
Nolan Chanel has continued to, or Chanwell, is it Chan? Oh, he screwed up. Chanwell?
Chanwell.
Okay, sorry, Chanwell. He's playing very well, like very well of late. He's actually has, I can't remember who, I think it was someone equated his numbers to Ronald Acuna's right now, which is pretty entertaining. He's 13% rostered around baseball, hitting .244, but as of late, hitting very, very well. So he'd be a guy, I think, especially OBP leagues, but I've been rushing him out there and 15s at the CI, and he's been productive in there. So don't sleep on him right now as he's starting to figure it out also. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 6 games next week. They have 3 at the New York Mets and then 3 at home against the Colorado Rockies. They have one of the easiest, if not the easiest, schedule of the week, technically, pitching-wise.
Oh.
So, Hauser, Quintana, Christian Scott, Hudson, Quantrill, Gomber. Quantrill, Gomber are better, but still, Quantrill, Gomber. This is again, who are you going to pick up with the Dodgers? But yeah.
I mean, you could go for some Jason Hayward, who is a platoon bat, so only does play those 4 times. Kike Hernandez is playing every day in wake of or in lieu of or whatever. Max Muncy hitting .214 with three homers and 114 plate appearances. So that's not all that sexy. Agree. There's not much. It's actually kind of crazy how fragile the Dodgers' depth is. You look after the Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Will Smith, Teoscar top five, it gets bad quick with Gavin Lux. Pajes has slowed down. Hayward platoon with like Chris Taylor and then Kike Hernandez. So I don't know. You could look at maybe Miguel Vargas. There are some that are very high on Miguel Vargas, but is only playing if he's really not playing. So that's
he's not playing
hard to do despite the great schedule. So I don't know. That's not good. Not much here that's actionable.
That's good. All right.
Rico with a really bad one in the chat with Nolan.
Do not apologize, Joe.
No, that's wow. All right, let's move on.
Yes, it's beautiful. Beautiful, Joe. Miami Marlins, they have six games this week. Three at the San Diego Padres, three at home versus the Texas Rangers. Fun little schedule for Miami. All six right-handed pitchers, so you want left-handed bats. But we've done this like weekly with them, and I'm just kind of over trying to chase the left-handed bats. That's the best way I'll put it.
Yeah. I mean, it's your Jesus Sanchez, Nick Gordon. I mean, those are the guys that are going to play the most this week. But, like, yeah, Jesus Sanchez is hitting .220 with two homers and 145 plate appearances. That's not that great. What do you think about Otto Lopez? He's not a lefty, but I think he's going to play every day at second base and an all-righty week, hitting .283, three homers, two steals.
He's not platooning, so deeper formats, he definitely has legs. So I don't mind it in deeper leagues, I'll say that much.
Okay.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, they have seven games this week. They have four at home versus the Cubs, three at home versus the White Sox. They get to camp out at home and face the city of Chicago for seven games. Three lefties and four righties for the Brew Crew.
Makes it hard to start your guy, Jake Bowers.
My guy. He's going to have a big weekend because they had that three lefty week, then three righty week. So get ready for some Jake Bowers this weekend.
Four-game week probably for – yeah, agreed. Four-game week probably for Bowers, Bryce Terang, and Sal Frelick. Like, I'd love to see Milwaukee try Bryce Terang a little bit more. I mean, what are they doing with platooning with Andrew Monasterio? Like, how is that making Bryce Terang any better, who's just 24 years old? Like,
some teams just way overthink stuff. It's pretty annoying, to be honest, if we have to get real serious about this. But Joey Ortiz kind of quieted down a bit, but I still like him. If he's out there, go ahead and snatch that one up with all the injuries at third base. Go grab him.
Yep, playing every day against both lefties and righties, so should get the full seven-game week for Joey Ortiz. I like that.
100%. Minnesota Twins, they have seven games coming up next week. They have four at home versus the Royals, three at the Houston Astros, six righties. We're back to our favorite Twins of the week once again. Our Larnacks, our Keplers, our have so much fun.
It's like a hockey team, the Twins, just like shift chains.
Yeah, shift chains, baby.
With lefty righty, it makes it frustrating as hell. Like, I didn't start Max Kepler this week because the Twins started off against the lefty, so I benched him. Goes deep the next game. Six game righty week for the Twins, so lock and load with your Julian Kepler, Marnik, and lesser extent Alex Kirilloff. Not sure how I'd rank those guys. Probably Kepler. Kirilloff. Okay, you'd have Julian last.
Oh, Julian had Kirilloff's last for me. He's really hit the struggle bus.
Agreed. I'd go Kepler, Julian, Larnik, Kirilloff.
Yeah, Kirilloff, like I remember dropping a few weeks ago, but I have a lot of Kepler, a lot of Larnack these days, and I'm with you. They had two lefties in three games, so I sat them, planning on playing them this weekend versus all righties this weekend, and missed out on those as well. So totally on paper, as they say, we made the right move, but because they only played one game essentially, or pitch hit or whatever, but still doesn't help missing that home run with numbers down the way they are these days. So,
Alex in the chat, shout out Bubba again for the Ryan Jeffers call. So yes, expect some Jeffers gifts out of you this week, man.
Yep. Every time I look on my app, I see the Twins score. I look right away to like see is the number 12 yet? He's still sitting at 11 for a little while. So Jeffers is due. Big week coming up because that's a pretty friendly schedule too, all things considered, in those matchups. New York Mets, they have seven games this week, all at home. Dodgers, D-backs, four righties, three lefties. It's the New York Mets who have a horrible, horrible offense.
Yeah, and really nothing to pick up here.
New York Yankees, they have six games next week, all on the road. Three at the Angels, three at the Giants, three lefties, three righties. You mentioned they're 121 WRC plus. I'll just throw this one out here. If we're talking splits, over the last month, 142 WRC plus for right-handed pitching. Oh. Like they made Luis Castillo and Brian Wu and guys like Logan Gilbert look normal this week. They are crushing baseballs, but it's tough to stream.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know what you stream even. I mean, even like I think I recommended Austin Wells last week because it was a righty heavy week for the Yankees this current week. And Austin Wells isn't really playing. He's kind of the backup catcher now to Jose Trevino. So no, I don't think there's any pick upable moves here.
I will say, like you mentioned the Trevino thing with him playing more. Deep league catcher too, if needed. He's got the viability. Yeah. Like I'd still rather have like a Corey Lee or some of the other guys we've discussed, like a Joey Bart even. But Trevino's on the list if you are, because that position's getting wonky. It's getting wonky right now, so I get it. Oakland Athletics, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at Tampa, three at the Braves. It's a tough schedule for Oakland team. It's cooled down quite a bit, and then it's three lefties and three righties. I will say this much though, JJ Bleday is playing every day. And he's hitting lefties really well over the last few weeks. Like he took a lefty deep on Tuesday late in the game. I know people laugh about all these like JJ Bleday and some of these guys, but like if it's going, it's going. And he's only 26% rostered in 12. So like deep 15 innings, maybe not 12, but 15 is like that's a dude to keep an eye on at least.
Agreed. And hitting second against righties and lefties. So that's good. I think that's really the only pickup that you can make. I know you like your guy Daz Cameron, but
no, I'd
give him another monitor. Yeah, I'd wait to see how he does next week unless you're desperate.
Yeah, no, you put Daz on like your star on your list to just kind of keep an eye on the situation and see where that one goes as well.
Austin will not power your squad to a win. That's a comment from Mark in the chat on Austin Wells. That's a good one. I like that one.
That's well done, Austin Powers. Think about it. Oh, yes, we're working in the chat. Our listeners are rubbing off. This is good. This is good. Nice. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games this week, three at the Giants, three at home versus the Cardinals. That might get your airfare award right there, Bloomfield. That's a pretty good one. Yeah. Two lefties, four righties for Philadelphia. The team is just nuclear hot right now. Don't think that means you can do a whole lot, though.
No, I don't really think you can do anything here. Because the good Phillies are rostered, and the bad ones
don't need to be rostered.
Yeah, so. And like I mean, Nick Castellanos, I'm sure is still rostered everywhere. Starting to come to life a little bit, which is good to see.
He's starting to come like JTR is starting to come to life. Obviously, he's rostered as well. Yep. So yep. Stott's coming to life, which is beautiful.
No, I mean, Phillies there. There was a Jeff Passan tweet today. I forget the exact number. I guess I could look it up, but they are just on fire. I think it's crazy the run they've been on.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they only play five. They're one of the two teams with five games, as you mentioned earlier. Two at Detroit, three at Toronto, one of the hardest hitting weeks of the year, of the week, I mean. Two lefties, three righties, five games, pretty much moving on this one.
Yeah, the combination of five games and an average of a 20% strikeout minus walk. It's Scooble, Flaherty, Berríos, Yusei Kikuchi, and then Chris Bassett. So a little bit easier at Toronto next weekend. I don't even know if you can start any Pittsburgh Pirate the first half of the week, which is two games, and the two games are Scooble and Flaherty. Like
not a
like
chance.
Maybe Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, but nobody else.
No. I'm going to throw this out there, though, similar to the Daz Cameron situation. Feel free to put Jiwon Bae on your watch list for future weeks. He got called up, and someone in the chat mentioned it also, but he's been playing every day in center field since he got called up. And he could be taking Jack's. He's only one for seven since he got called up in two games. But he did get a steal in that first game. And in the minor leagues, Bae was hitting .367 with four homers and seven steals. Last year, he hit 24 steals in the minors. Like he's been 20-plus steals every year with a little bit of pop. So that's a guy I would keep an eye on. He's got he's second base outfield eligible too. So not saying he's an ad this week, but someone to keep in mind for the future.
Yeah, I mean, stole 24 bags last year. So you do have that. I always question a power surge, quote-unquote surge, in the minor leagues. But agree, someone to at least look at, see how much he plays with Sawinski out.
And Michael Cicchini in the chat also said Nick Gonzalez is playing well. He is. He's hitting .277, couple home runs, one stolen base since he got called up. So he's another guy that you can probably keep an eye on. I would, again, wouldn't look at the Pirates, but yeah, the dude's been playing second base every day. So, and he's hitting all but three games since getting called up. So he's playing pretty darn well. Definitely someone to keep an eye on also. All right, San Diego Padres have six games coming up this week. They have three at home versus Miami and then three at Kansas City. Another one of those backwards weeks, four lefties, two righties, but it's the Padres who don't really do a whole lot of roster moving around. So anybody stand out for you in San Diego?
No, we already crapped on David Peralta enough.
Yeah,
and Donovan Solano is not walking through that door and saving teams this week. So no action for the Padres on Fab this week.
Yeah, pretty rough. San Francisco Giants, they have six games this week, all at home. Three versus Philly, three versus the Yanks. And I might have to go down and check out one of those games. Two lefties, four righties on docket. So you can go to your Lamont Wades if you want, per se. But most guys that I think are worthy are probably taken. Maybe if, you know, Elliot Ramos or Montas is still around, go for it. But most guys should be rostered by now.
Montas with more RBI last weekend than Acuna has all year.
One of my
favorite stats.
Wow. Montas is 92% rostered in 12s. Ramos is only 17%. And I think Ramos is still the better player. Ramos went deep on Thursday. Okay. I think he's the better player.
I mean, Montas had the week. I mean, he was the NL player of the week. So I get that's why. But Ramos, I think Ramos is being slept on a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, that's one. They both play every day. Like the Giants, they like to platoon, but everyone's getting hurt. So, and they're at least letting Ramos and Montas play pretty much every day. Luciano's not playing every day, but who cares? That would be something to keep an eye on. I'll say that much. If you're looking for some outfield depth, go check your wires on those ones. All right, Seattle Mariners. They play six games this week, all at home, or seven games this week, all at home as well. They get the Astros for four, Spaghetti still on the rotation, and three against the Angels. Six right-handed pitchers for the Mariners. I know Dominic Canzone's back. Does that interest you? Anybody interest you with the Mariners facing so many righties?
A lot of movement with the Mariners lately. So J.P. Crawford's back from the IL and hitting leadoff. So that means Josh Rojas is pretty much at the bottom of the order. Rojas had been leading off, but still a great week to start Josh Rojas. This is, I mean, you mentioned the righty heavy nature of the schedule with six righties for the Mariners, but it's a cake schedule. So Josh Rojas is still a pickup for me or a continue to start. Luke Raley is really the big man that I would go after this week if he's available, still hitting 60, third or fourth.
60% rostered right now.
Okay, in 12 teamers?
Yep, so it's not bad.
I like that a lot. One of the things I was wondering about is with J.P. Crawford back, is Dylan Moore done so? But he's not. Moore, and they have – I mean, Dylan Moore is on fire. So they have moved Dylan Moore in the three games that Crawford has come back and been the shortstop, but they moved Dylan Moore to second – and left and field against both lefties and righties. So like Dylan Moore is still going to play, I think, every day, at least while he's hot. So still like Dylan Moore this week.
In the month of May, Dylan Moore's hitting .306 with five homers, 12 runs, 15 RBIs, and only one steal. I found that ironic when I looked at it, because we all talked about get more for the stolen bases. It's the other four categories right now with Dylan Moore that he's producing like an absolute G, and he's only 11% rostered in 12s right now. I would ride that one till the wheels come off. Right now, because the thing with Moore is the wheels might not fully come off. He's a guy that the potential's there. He's just never seen it for this long, and so I think there's a lot to like there. The Javier's hittable, Brown's garbage, Verlander's hittable, Arrigetti's garbage. You got Soriano's. He's a coin flip. Detmer's a coin flip. Canning, like, it's a lot of good matchups for the Mariners next week to really make some noise. I think Moore, and maybe it goes full kaput next week. That's very possible. I'd be willing to give it a shot for like all these players we talked about. It feels like another rough Fab week like last week where we're at right now. Moore is one of the guys that stands near the top so far. Like, I'm not saying he might be the best, but it's a five category contributor we haven't seen yet so far, and we're almost done with all the teams. So be a dude to go look at for sure. All right. We got the St. Louis Cardinals, six games on tap here, all on the road, three in Great American Small Park, three at the Philadelphia Phillies, five righties coming your way for the Cards. Your boy Burleson's playing really, really well and playing every day, so that could be a
Thank
dude.
You.
He's 28% rostered in OCs, so wildly available. What? He might be better than Dylan Moore. I might take that one back real quick.
Alec Barrel season is alive and well. What's Nolan Gorman? I don't want to be like way off base here, but Nolan Gorman is on fire, and it is somewhat of a platoon. But Nolan Gorman is, I mean, with the five righties, Nolan Gorman I like a lot, but he may be kind of rostered everywhere, but maybe not.
Yeah, Nolan Gorman, yeah, because with all the righties, he will play a ton. If I can type properly.
Thought you had the thing up, dude.
I do. I mistyped. He's 98% rostered. Yeah, 98% rostered still, yeah.
I'm so like, I have no feel for the 12 teamers.
Dude, it's all over. Like, guys I think are heavy, like, aren't. Like, the fact that Rayleigh's only still 60% rostered, he was one of the most added guys last week. Still 40%. And it's only going to get worse, folks. As the season goes on, people are already starting to give up, and you got football starting up. Like, you're going to see some wacky stuff. So always, always check your leagues. Don't just go off a list that Ryan or myself or somebody else gives you. Go check your leagues out, because it's wild.
What do you think about this one? My guy versus your guy here, out from Alec Burleson or Elliot Ramos rest of season?
I go Burleson, because if the Giants ever got healthy, Ramos could be a casualty on that one. I'd imagine he'd be after Matos, but you never know. Burleson, he should be there for a while, because I don't think Edmund's even close still, the returning. Like, it's Burleson's spot for a while.
Tommy Edman may have died.
Yeah, it's like there was good news coming for a bit, and now it's quiet again. Yeah, it's just like he's now not even hitting live pitching again, and it's just quiet. And I don't know what they did to his wrist, but it's like it's got that Kirilloff vibe from last year, where it just never got better.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see on that one. All right, Tampa Bay Rays. They have six games this week. They have three at home versus Oakland, three at the Baltimore Orioles. Very good start to the week. Back in Bradish, maybe difficult. It could be a good week for Tampa hitters. Five righties on the docket. So how would you approach this with all the, Nate Lowe looks like he's back to the IL with an oblique injury. I lost Jimenez and Lowe, two of my most expensive ads this week. That was rough, really rough. But means DeLuca should be playing every day, which is good. You might get some more Richie Palacios in your life with Brandon Lowe back. So how are you looking at this Tampa Bay situation?
Yeah, kind of another hockey team, a shift change team when they're fully healthy. But I agree, Johnny DeLuca should play every day. I like Richie Palacios, second outfield eligible in a five-game week in a pretty good schedule. That's probably it. I have already dropped Ahmed Rosario everywhere, as much as it pains me to say that. Just not playing enough, despite him being, I think, still pretty good. But
he served you well. He served you well.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you.
Kind of.
He did for the time being. Texas Rangers, they have the second five-game team this week. They get Arizona for two and then three at the Miami Marlins. Three lefties, two righties. Tough streaming situation. Good matchups, but tough streaming situation.
Agreed. With the five games, it's tough to start your marginal Rangers, your Josh Smiths, your Evan Carters, Leody Taveras, Ezekiel Duran. Those types, I think, are all benches this week, given the five games. I wouldn't look at really anyone on Texas this week.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week, three at the White Sox, three at home versus Pittsburgh, two lefties, four righties. Toronto, they've had a good couple games. I don't want to say heating up. I think that might be too premature on this one, because it still is the Blue Jays. But they put up some runs the last few nights against the Tigers, so that's a promising sign for Toronto. But you're talking two lefties, four righties. Streaming's pretty tricky.
Easiest schedule of the week, though, with the 7% K-minus walk led off by Nick Don't Nastreamy, which is easily one of my better puns of the year, I have to say. Nick Nastreamy, living up to that name. It's then Clevinger, Flexen, Bailey Falter, Mitch Keller, I'll give.
Eric Fede. Oh, I was just naming off the White Sox pitchers, sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm, so I'm, I'm, I'm naming off the pitchers nice that schedule Toronto's facing this week. It's brutal. But yeah, there's no, I don't know, nothing you can really do in terms of a pickup. Like Davis Schneider should be rostered everywhere,
leading off everywhere. What are you doing with George Springer?
I think you're starting him this week.
Yes, you are this week. But like in general, like if he has a bad week this week, what are you doing? Because I've been benching him where I can, but it's one of those in 12s where he's getting closer to that chopping block each week.
Agreed. Strikeout rate is, I believe, way up, and George Springer is not. I mean, Davis Schneider is their leadoff guy. Springer is getting the J-Rod treatment, going down to sixth. And I don't know. It feels like it's one of those skill sets that given the aging curve, George Springer is 34 and a half. With the K-rate stable, just no hard contact, 7 steals. I'm riding him out. I'm riding him out. The more I look at the numbers here, 220 BABIP is really low for George Springer. He's been around 290 throughout his career, so should be hitting more like 250 and not 194. Still running 7 for 7 on the base pass. I'm keeping the faith.
All righty. Rays have a good power play, according to Mark Jordan, which is good. And then Edgardo says, Aranda has been playing regularly for the Rays. That is true. I'm just not the biggest Jonathan Aranda guy, but deeper formats, maybe at least keep an eye on type situation. Mike, I can live with that for sure. All right, last team we got here, Washington Nationals. They have 7 games this week, all on the road. They have 4 at the Braves, 3 at the Guardians. Pretty good set of overall matchups, all things considered. 6 right-handed hitters or pitchers for the Nationals to face off with throughout the 7. Anybody you're looking like Eddie Rosario's doing his thing? Anybody exciting for you?
Yeah, I was going to mention Rosario probably in 15 teamers. Has been swinging a hot bat lately and hitting second or third against righty, so that's good. Outside of that, nothing really much. Maybe some Luis Garcia at second base. Just random little flake here. CJ Abrams has quietly been really terrible. Hey, it's one of those like April victory laps that if you just flip April and May, he's not as good as he was in April. He's not as bad as he is in May, but it's just interesting the length of the season. And CJ Abrams has been awful in May. Most nothing definitely. You can do about it, but.
No, you're rolling him out there because he could steal 6 bases in a week and you'd hate that one. Michael Cicchini says, with Washington coming up, would you drop Bo Naylor for Kiber? He'd lost weight, hoping he comes around. Maybe I can see the argument just because, like, I dropped Naylor at least 112 last week.
Yeah,
I've moved on there. I've accepted the L on that situation. I think the guy's talented, but he's a completely different hitter than he was last year, striking out the way he is and everything. It's not the guy I broke down in the offseason, let's put it that way. Kiber's still like, yeah, he lost all that weight when he was out with his illness, like lost a ton of weight. He still hasn't bounced back though. He's been back since April 25th. It's been a month basically since he came back. And he's still hitting a .143 with 1 home run. Not striking out a ton, but like Bo's actually probably been better than that, which is scary in the scenario. I see the argument, but I think I'd still rather Bo Naylor, except I get Kiber's playing every day. So
could we do like an option C? Corey Lee is probably available.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be like Corey Lee, even Joey Bart.
There might be some better options. Ruiz, you're right. He's not striking out much, but 2 barrels all season, 113 plate appearances.
And
I don't know. The factor on the weight loss with that, it's just like, I don't know if that comes back anytime soon.
Yeah, like I know he missed a lot of time. It was a month ago now. Like he should have something hopefully back, or I don't know, something a little off.
It's just a tough position. I mean, you're a catcher. Like it's hard to, you lose 20 pounds, you're back. Yeah. Like it's hard to rest up and recuperate when you're catching.
On a hot, humid day in Washington, he's gonna lose a boatload of weight. He needs to literally take a 10-day IL stint just to get liquids and get back.
He should head out to your little grilling station and, hang out for here. 3 days.
Come West, Kyber. We'll get you hooked up. Don't you worry, big guy. I got you. So, yep. All right, that'll do it. All 30 teams broken down for you. Again, 2 teams with 5 games, a handful of 7s, a couple nice ones. The streaming is just tricky this week again. So let's talk CBS Bloomfield, where we usually talk like look at Luke Raley, Alec Burleson, David Fry. Like we talk about these guys. It's funny how this works. Who stands out to you near the top of these lists or just on the list in general that we might not have discussed? on the hitting side of things for the major ads, because the top 10, 12 guys, we talked about most of them.
Yeah, it's funny how we, by the time we get here, we kind of have. Who haven't we talked about? Tyler Freeman is a big
leading off gainer. Of Cleveland.
Yeah, with I think third base outfield eligibility, which is super useful. Tyler Freeman is up from 18% to 33% rostered in CBS leagues with an excellent strikeout rate, and he's running so and playing all the time. So I like that. Josh Bell is rising.
I don't understand that.
I don't honestly get that one. This is an interesting one. Danny Jansen is rising from 39 to 33. I think that, I know I'm speaking for you, but that's someone we overlook. If Jansen's only 39% rostered, CBS probably has a ton of one catcher leagues. But Danny Jansen,
he's 100% in 12s.
Is he? Yeah. But I think even in one catcher leagues, Danny Jansen's right now healthy and hitting. Yeah. Like a top 10 catcher. So
he's hitting second.
I think that's a really good ad in one catcher leagues. Here's your boy, Tommy Pham, still just 27%.
It's crazy.
Rostered in CBS, steadily rising. Michael Massey shows up down here at the bottom of the list from 11 to 15%. So we talked about him. Nick Gonzalez is brought up in the comments. Talked about him. Ryan O'Hearn talked about him. I don't know, man. I think we covered. Yeah.
Corey Colt Lee, Otto Lopez.
What do you think about Colt Keith starting to turn around?
Cut. I'm not there yet. Plus the Tigers schedule we talked about.
Yeah, that's good. Good call.
That's not of interest for me this week. He needs to show me a lot more. I think people like when they see his name, he's like, "Oh, big prospect. He's about to break out." Okay, I'll let someone else play with that a little longer, I think, before I get too excited. DJ LeMay, he's on here. He's supposed to come back next week. I'm not excited about running out to get him, but that's probably why he's moving up the line as well. So.
Jake Myers, and I know we've already mentioned these guys, but it is good to kind of circle back a little bit with now that we have CBS ownership. Jake Myers, 11% rostered in CBS leagues. That's a felony. That's a Scottie Scheffler crime against humanity. Davis Schneider, 40% rostered in CBS. I really like Davis Schneider. So, yeah, I don't know. Kind of touched on all these hitter names. No one that we haven't really. Wenciel Perez, we talked about, but he's rising. I would not, again, given the Detroit schedule, I'd fade that this upcoming week. But I don't know. I think we covered it pretty well on the hitter side.
Yeah, Perez is 78% rostered in OCs. So
here's your guy. I just highlighted your guy there, Miguel Vargas. No barrels. 7 plate appearances. Shouldn't be too hard on him.
No, they just need to play him. They just need to play them. It's the name of the game on that one. Pitching side of things, though, look at that. Cal Quantrill leads the way. Ben Lively, Alec Marsh, my guys. Weathers has looked good. He's a lot of two-star guys this past week. Gasser's up there to 43%. He had a two-step these weeks. These are a lot of two-step pitchers. But Jalen Beeks, the new Colorado closer, he's up top there. Gave it that home run on Thursday. So Jeffrey Springs is rehabbing. I wouldn't get too excited with that, though.
I was going to ask you about that because I haven't seen much on spring. So it's interesting that he's rising. Like how far out? Because he went out pretty early last year.
Yeah. He threw his first rehab start. He's like 3 or 4 before he comes back. And I'm still kind of watching that with kid gloves.
In 15 teamers, I would, if you have room to stash, that's, I mean, I know former Ryan's Ray, so I'm biased here, but this is kind of that time. If it is 3-4 weeks or whatever till Springs is back, you could tell CBS's IL leagues because he's 25% rostered in CBS leagues. But that's a useful tidbit, at least for me in 15 teamers, to if I've got the room to hold somebody, Jeffrey Springs, pick him up for cheap and stash him for 3 weeks and maybe he's back.
Yeah, and there's a chance. That's for sure. I just think he's got a little ways to go. And all these guys coming off of TJ, I get really kind of skeptical of, let's put it that way.
So I'm kind of fading you. I mean, you talked about Cal Quantrill, Robert Gasser. Those are the top two ads. Again, I think both were two start pitchers, so that's probably why. But I don't really believe in either one right now. Gasser not missing bats, a 7% strikeout minus walk. Like the strikeouts haven't been there, and I think Cal Quantrill is still Cal Quantrill.
I'd rather go down the list and go to like Jose Soriano, Tyler McGill. Those are guys I kind of like more long-term than your Quantrill and your Gassers. Like Gasser might be gassed before we know it, and you'd have to move on from that one. But Soriano, McGill, those would be dudes I'd be interested in. Not a whole lot else. Like Woods Richardson's kind of coming back to earth a little bit. Not a lot of swing and miss there. AJ Smith-Shawver got the start on Thursday, pitched 4 1/3. I'm not sure if he'll stick in the rotation or not. So I'm not getting overly excited. He had an ERA over 6 at AAA this year. So I'm kind of, you know, watching that from a distance as well.
The Mets closer. So we've got Adam Ottavino picking up some steam, but I just think that's a total committee until Edwin Diaz gets right. And once Edwin Diaz gets right, he's going right back in the ninth. So I don't think that's really a place to try and grab saves. We've talked about, I keep on calling Brooks Raley. I have no idea why, but Reed Garrett, as I think that ship has sailed in terms of being able to pick Reed Garrett up. I don't know, broken record, but it's another pretty brutal week. Yeah, I'm not totally sold on AJ Smith-Shawver. Just the control, the lack of control that we've seen from him in the minors this year isn't all that exciting. Joe Ross got hurt, didn't he? He was
on the IL with the back injury. Yes. But he was a two-step this week, so that's probably why he was added.
Yeah. So I don't know. Out of anyone on this list, I think Tyler McGill is probably the add. Dude. And I know we mentioned him a little bit last week's show, but still only 17% rostered in CBS league. So go after him. But yeah, dude, it's brutal.
It's tough sledding in these streets. As some interesting stuff, non-pitcher dudes, as Gialdi says, Yainer Diaz was dropped in one of his mains. His, wow. I'd be looking to get aggressive on that one. I know he's been struggling, but sitting sixth in Houston, I'm excited. And Edgardo makes a point. Vines is also expected to start for the Braves. As of this recording, they have not announced a starter for Friday. They called Vines up earlier in the week to be the long man with the chance of pitching Thursday or Friday. So I'd imagine Darius Vines pitches on Friday. So that's a good point. But honestly, I kind of like Vines more than AJ Smith-Shawver. I'm not overly invested in either one of them. That's the only thing. I'm not like running out to spend a lot of money on either one. So
I mean, Vines 20% K rate in AAA this year in 35 innings. Like that's, if you're not missing bats in AAA, it's not going to go well in the majors.
Not likely.
I don't know. I'm starting to talk myself into Jeffrey Springs. Maybe I need to look into him more a little bit this weekend.
You got like a month. So,
but I mean, compared to every other pitcher at least you have like ceiling there.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not convincing you, but
I just, right. These guys coming off, like Shane Baugh got activated from the IL on Thursday, got sent to AAA because his command's still so bad from his surgery that they want to work it out.
He'll be a while, I think.
But that's kind of what, you know, those TJ guys' command's the hardest thing, so I just kind of wait and see on these ones. That's only my concern. But as bad as the pitching is, I get where your comments lie as well on those scenarios. All right, it's two-step season.
Let's see if we can uncover any two-step.
Let's two-step it up here. Start with Arizona, Ryan Nelson at Texas at the New York Mets.
No.
They even had an opener against LA the other day, so I'm pretty much – I don't think they're thrilled with what Ryan Nelson's throwing out there these days. Charlie Morton, Max Fried, Washington, and Oakland. I'm pretty sure you're starting both.
Yes, and crazy how we talked about CJ Abrams tanking in April to May. Crazy how Max Fried has turned things around. I did not see that coming.
Oh, gee. Here's your Cole Irvin. RotoWire has him projected to be in the rotation, but not bolded in black. So we'll wait and see. But it looks like it could be Cole Irvin versus Boston versus Tampa Bay.
I wouldn't in 12s. I think in 15s, that's given the walk rate that I mentioned earlier and the two starts. So you should get maybe 8 or 9 Ks, something like that. I'd go with Cole Irvin and 15 teamers and just say my Hail Marys Sunday night.
We got for Boston, Cooper Criswell and Bayo at Baltimore versus Detroit. I love it. Criswell's only 17% rostered in OCs.
I like it too. At Baltimore is tough. You got to get through that first half, but Detroit is just so bad. So I like that.
Justin Steele, who's been so bad since returning, at Milwaukee versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, you're doing that. Come on. So bad.
He's not been good since he's returned from the IL. Have you not looked at his lines?
Oh, I've looked. Unfortunately, I've looked on all my teams.
Yeah, I was to say, me too. That's why I think I benched him in most of mine this week because he played the Braves, thank God. But that did not end well. He's given up four runs or more in three straight starts. That's rough.
And the biggest thing with Steele is the whiff rate is down from 11.5 last year down to 8% so far this season. Yeah. So big drop in strikeout rate. And maybe that's, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's injury related as a hamstring. So
he's given up six homers in his last three starts. And it's not like he's like it was Atlanta and then two Pittsburgh starts.
Yeah, and the ground ball rate, Justin Steele has been a 50% ground ball guy. It's down to 40% so far this year. I'm still rolling with Justin Steele. Like, I mean, what are my alternatives? But I'm nervous.
It's not great.
I'm nervous.
The Reds, Nick Lodolo versus St. Louis at Chicago. That's assuming he comes off the IL on Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he back? If he is, let's go.
He's supposed to be. Yeah, yep. You rock and roll. Cleveland Guardians, Xavion Curry at Colorado versus Washington.
He's got a good setup. ERA.
He's made one start. Don't get too excited. Yeah,
he's got
there.
Nine innings. Xavion Curry, no, I would not do that.
No, I wouldn't either. It's a great set of matchups, but no, I'm not going to risk that one. Austin Gomber versus Cleveland at the Dodgers.
No. I know he's pitched well, but like.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. Let someone else gamble on that one. Your boy Nick Not So Streamy, or whatever you called him, versus Toronto at the Brewers.
Nick, don't stream me.
So. Don't stream me. Gotcha. Sorry.
That's my answer. Not streaming him.
Okay. Gotcha. Detroit, Casey Mize versus Pittsburgh at Boston. Mize's velocity's been down of late.
Yeah. 450 ERA. Velocity has been down a little bit, which you worry not pitching at all in 2023 with only 10 innings.
Yep. It's catching up.
In 2022, keeping the ball on the ground and throwing strikes. So, like, I think they're, I don't know. No in 12s, yes in 15s for me with Casey Mize.
That's fair. I have zero shares, so it's not a stressful thing. But I could see in 15s going for it, especially with that Pittsburgh start, but not in 12s for me.
Yeah.
Houston, Framber Valdez at Seattle versus Minnesota. And Valdez is scuffling a bit as well.
Yeah, but you're doing it.
Kansas City, Alec Marsh and Cole Reagans at Minnesota versus San Diego. I am doing both.
Marsh is your boy.
And he's doing well.
And pitching, yeah, pretty well. 14% strikeout minus walk, pretty good whiff and ball rates. So pitching much better in May, too. 21% K minus walk over his last three starts. Alec Marsh had a 9% K minus walk in April. So pitching better of late, I'm doing that. I like that.
Angels, Griffin Canning versus the Yankees at Seattle.
God.
He's been so, like, hit and miss. It's rough.
I can't. Dude, that Yankees start offense could be is nuclear. So right now.
Yes. That's one of those, if you did, you just don't watch the start on Tuesday and pray.
Yeah, and the Angels lineup is so bad. Like, you really have a chance at a win there with those two. Like, the Sunday start, yes, it's Seattle, but it's Luis Castillo. Like, I don't think I'm going Griffin Canning in 15-teamers.
Nope, I'm going to sit that one down and just hope for the best for those that do it. Gavin Stone at the Mets versus Colorado. I think you got to do it.
Yep, got to do it.
No strikeouts, yep. But do it.
But in a two-step week, you do get strikeouts, so I like it.
Technically, you're right. Yes, you are right. Trevor Rogers at San Diego versus Texas.
No.
No.
Good God. Trevor Rogers' ratios are horrendous. What's his whip? Well,
1-6 record with a 6.11 ERA.
I think the whip is even more like, yeah, a 184 whip in 45 innings. Like, that is quietly, like, killing your team if you have Trevor Rogers in for some reason.
A near 2 whip is, that's wild.
That's so bad.
Milwaukee, Freddie Peralta, you're going to start versus Chicago White Sox versus Cubs versus White Sox. But Tobias Myers versus the Cubs versus the White Sox. I don't think I'm starting him.
I don't think so either. We haven't had too much to go off of, but yeah, not missing bats.
It's bad.
No, I don't like him. No, I'm not doing it.
Minnesota, Joe Ryan, you're going to go with, but Simeon Woods Richardson versus Kansas City at Houston.
Yeah, I think you roll with that. Yeah. I don't know about 12s. Maybe not in 12s, but definitely in 15s. I think I'm going
12s,
there.
12s is very fringe worthy. If, like, you can accept a potential ratio dump, you'll take the chance, but it's not a warm and fuzzy. The Mets, Tyler McGill and Jose Quintana versus the Dodgers versus Arizona.
Oh, God, the Dodgers. I still think, I think you go with that.
Yep. Both. Yep. I'm with you there. Yankees, Nestor Cortez at the Angels, at the Giants. The one thing I'll say is if you look at his home road splits, they are drastic to start the season. Like, I think it's above a 6 ERA on the road and like below 2 at home. I'm still doing it. Angels and San Francisco. I'm just saying this is one of those ones I don't think is as comfortable as people think they are.
Yeah, that's an interesting split. The skills are still, you start Nestor
Cortez. He's not striking guys out on the road. Like, it's a drastic change.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only made 11 starts. Like, that's still pretty noisy.
No, I get it. I've just stood out big time. Oakland Athletics, Spence at Tampa Bay at Atlanta. That's a no.
I mean, I don't even know who Spence is.
Get that man some respect. He has a family.
No, I actually should. He has pitched. Shouldn't joke. He has made like 9 starts. Or no, he hasn't. He's pitched 33 innings. Yeah. Actually, dude,
he's been good.
Yeah. That's a so.
Yeah, I'm still not doing it against Tampa and Atlanta, but he's been good.
54% ground ball. So this is my thing. You get ground balls, 54%. You miss bats, 14% swing strike, and you throw strikes, 34% ball rate. I like it, dude. What's the two step?
The problem is it's Tampa Bay and Atlanta, so I'm passing on that one.
Both on the road.
Yeah.
I would pass, but yeah. I should not besmirch Mitch Spence.
There you go. A little 180 there. I like it. Taiwan Walker at the Giants versus St. Louis. It's a no for me.
Good matchups.
Yeah, it's a no.
All right. I'm with you.
You can do what you wish, though. Don't let me talk you out of it.
I mean, it's Taiwan Walker, man. What's he doing in the rotation?
Yeah, that's literally the million-dollar question. That's the difference. That's why he's in the rotation. Boy got paid. Michael King versus Miami at Kansas City. Yes.
Yep.
Seattle, you're starting Bobby Bryce Miller and Luis Castillo. Giants.
Whew. Here we go. Here, speaking of Trevor Rogers destroying your ratios, let's present our next two-step.
Blake Snell versus the Phillies versus the Yankees. Wow. And he's on paternity leave right now as his girlfriend has their child. I am sitting this one out, and I might regret it, but I have to see signs of life from Blake Snell.
Blake Snell is unstartable in
– yeah.
Pretty much, dude, a 207 whip. I know it's only been 15 innings or whatever. It's
beyond bad.
He is so bad. He has been awful.
Yeah.
You can't start him anywhere.
He's a sit till otherwise notified, basically. You can't cut him the way pitching is.
I mean, I have him in TGFBI, I believe. And he is firmly a bench, but also firmly a not cut because – We can go back to last season and whatever. I think Blake Snell had, I forget what the exact stat is, but had like the an ERA around
2 months.
Five. Yeah. First couple months and then won the Cy Young. So you're not cutting them, but you can't start Blake Snell.
It's rough right now. All right. St. Louis Cardinals, Lance Loretta Lynn at the Cincinnati Reds at the Philadelphia Phillies. He gets to wear the gray uniforms.
Does he get the grays? Let's go.
Twice next week, baby.
Let's look at some temperatures. We need a Lance Lynn sweat alert.
We need our weather, our meteorologist to tune in real quick and let us know how Lance Lynn's, because at Cincinnati and Philly could be some tidy ones for you.
Yeah, that could be some humid air, some road gray. Just sweating it out.
Man, think about it. It's Memorial Day on Monday. Maybe had a little barbecue. Yeah. Like, oh baby, Lance Lynn might have some ketchup and mustard on the jersey.
Throw the meat sweats through the Fanatics.
Might have pieces of steak stuck in his beard.
Yeah, I might start him just so I can watch that.
Yeah, I'm not starting him next week. About that matchup.
In all seriousness, he's not good anymore.
No, he's doing it with smoke and mirrors right now, and it feels like that blow-up is coming in a big, big way. Tampa Bay, Zach Lytle versus Oakland at Baltimore. I am in.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Toronto, Chris Bassitt at the White Sox versus Pittsburgh. He's been so bad, but these are two good matchups.
But I want to say Bassitt has turned it around lately. I could be wrong on that. I'm pulling up his – just like Bo Bichette. No, Chris Bassitt hasn't really been turning it around.
Runs in his last start versus the White Sox. That's good.
That's what I mean. Turning it around. Yeah, White Sox. But the two-step is great, dude. Yeah, White Sox versus Pittsburgh.
I'll start him.
And it's against Nastrimi and Martin whoever Perez. In Pittsburgh. So I'd do it.
All right. Then Washington, you got Patrick Corbin and Jake Irvin at Atlanta, at Cleveland. No Corbin. I'd say yes for Irvin, though.
Definitely not Corbin. Jake Irvin is startable in 15s. At Atlanta,
I'd start him in 12s too. I'd start him in 12s too.
You would start Jake Irvin in 12s?
Yep, I would.
Jesus, dude. What's wrong with you?
Last five starts, 307 ERA, 385 xFIP. Ks aren't the biggest thing, with 21 Ks and 29 in a third inning. So not like 16% K to walk, though, because he doesn't walk anybody. Keeps the ball in the yard. And one thing you love to see, Bloomfield, 44% ground ball rate's not horrible.
No, it's like middle of the road. No, I'm not doing that. I don't think I'm doing it.
Okay, that's fine. You can sit back and watch. It's no big deal. Jake Irvin's better than people think, but it's a dicey one. Like, by no means am I in love with it, but it's dicey. It's dicey. So not the best two steps this week. Let's put it that way. Not the best.
No, and I said, like, maybe we will unearth some. I don't think we unearthed anybody. Maybe some Alec Marsh.
Alec Marsh.
Cooper Criswell.
Criswell, 17% for sure. Criswell's a definite. Go find him on your waiver. Cole Irvin in 15s.
Yep.
You can go that route. I'm just doing a quick scroll. Not a lot else, though. Yeah, Alec Marsh, Nolan Griffin Canning. Yeah, Simeon Woods Richardson, if you need to, he's available. Go get Tyler Miguel if he's still available. That'd be one. You're going to keep him even after the two steps, so go get him. Otherwise, yeah, it's pretty much a done city on that one. A lot more two-step guys next week, though. Looking at that already. All right, before we head on out of here, we have a couple of starred questions. Let's get to Good Joe on this one. Someone dropped Reds closer Diaz. Should I pick that'd be Alexis Diaz. Should I pick him up in a 10-team head-to-head saves holds league? In a 10-team with saves and holds, you do not need to mess with that ratio.
Agreed. I was shaking my head as you read the question. And at 10 team saves and holds, there's got to be some better options than like, I'd take who the hell's the dude on? I'd take Luke Weaver over Alexis Diaz in the saves and holds league.
Yeah, I go get Reed Garrett immediately over Alexis Diaz in the saves and hold league.
Brooks Raley. I have no idea why I think that. But
there's a fun one. Gialdi says, is Manoah real? Last two starts have been outstanding. He has a fun matchup on Friday that'll really let you know if he's real or not. I think we're seeing things point in the right direction. I know Ryan will probably get into more of the statistical angles of this one, but when I did write him up for the Daily Matchups article, 13 Ks and 14 innings with no one runs in his last two starts. Yeah. Since he's returned in his three starts, 17% K to walk, 11% swinging strike. Like, there's stuff pointing in the right direction, but are you seeing anything that stands out in a positive or negative situation?
I mean, it's three starts, so you can't really take much away from any of it, but I would take Alec Manoah over any fringe starting pitcher that we talked about tonight.
That's fair.
Like, without much hesitation. So is Alec Manoah real? I don't know. I mean, yes, he is real, but like,
there's a whole lot of real going on out there, folks.
There's a whole lot of real there.
Can we get Lance Lynn versus Alec Manoah in St. Louis?
Is that happening?
No, can we? In like August?
Can we?
That would be awesome.
That'd be a tough watch. Tough watch.
We might have to stream that one live.
I mean, I'm inclined to believe in Alec Manoah just because he's done it before. And the three starts have looked really, really good. Like, every skill looks pretty solid. So,
yeah, I'm believing. I'm there. Gialdi also says, should we stash Jason Dominguez? He has got moved up to AA. I believe he's got at least another week or so. It's going to be a long rehab for him to come back. So it's May 23rd. I'm guessing second week of June, maybe you get him back. So if you want to stash him, go for it. They said even before the season started, he does not guarantee a spot on the team. So that's the only caveat I'll throw out there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. So it just doesn't like. I wouldn't stash Jason Dominguez right now. Like, and the Yankees are all healthy right now. I have no idea how long that lasts. Giancarlo Stanton will get hurt at some point, maybe some Judge. I'd love to not see it, but I just think Dominguez is too far out to stash.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you have a definite spot and you're not worried about it, sure. Just know it, setbacks, this, that, and the other, you could drop them pretty soon. I that'd be my angle. Like, if you got a room to just sit on a guy for a week, if you've been that lucky to avoid all these injuries, go for it. I look at most of my NFBC rosters. I have at least two or three IL spots on there already. So stashing is not really in my cards these days. And so I can't stash Jason Dominguez. Going through, Joe Rico says, sounds like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, talking about Lennon Manoah. That's fair. Edgardo says, good call on Cortez home away splits. Walks per nine on the road is 3.55. And Mark Jordan says Manoah is using the changeup more. So yeah, there's been some good stuff there for sure. But fun show, Bloomfield. Fun show. We nailed it. Week 10 in the books. There's 20, usually 26 or 27 weeks in the year, folks. So we are over a third of the way there. So it's pretty crazy stuff. Any final thoughts as we head into the weekend? Memorial Day weekend, be safe for one, folks. But any final thoughts here?
Oh, yeah. Enjoy Memorial Day weekend. We will be heading up to the Bend area up in the mountains. Nice. And actually so we will not have a Tuesday night show.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to move it to Wednesday night. And yep. That's entirely my fault, but we'll do a Wednesday night and a Thursday night show next week since I will be out. So yeah, I'm taking Tuesday, Wednesday off and making a 5-day weekend out of the deal. So looking forward to that. In between Memorial Day festivities, it is kind of that traditional time in the fantasy baseball calendar to start. I look at standings all the time, but start gauging where you're at in terms of categories. I think that is a valuable exercise to start doing at this point. I think it's been too early to do that up to this point, but start taking stock on where you're starting to either pad a cushion, a lead, if you're fortunate, or starting to slip behind and start to focus a little bit more on categories with your pickups, or at the very least, just kind of gauge where you're at in your leagues this weekend.
Yep. It's a great point. It's one of those I've been kind of watching from a distance. I've only dug deep into it, but I'm either doing like really well in hitting and bad in pitching or vice versa. I don't have a lot of balanced leagues. So it's really going to start factored into my fab every week is what I'm focusing more on going up here. Just by the first glance, now I'll dig in on his, guessing its power if it's hitting, just the way things are going, and then ratios of his pitching. But we'll see.
Like for me, like, and I again, no one cares about our teams, but I think it's just a good example. So like in labor, I'm in second right now, very bunched in stolen bases, and so that's a category I want to look at, because when I actually look at my roster, I have, how many freaking steals do I have? I've got 44 steals as a team. And Jose Caballero has 18 of them. So like almost half of my steals are from one guy. I need to prioritize, at least, you know, not go all out for stolen bases, but when I'm looking at Fab in that league, that's just an example. Like I need to kind of lean a little bit more towards speed guys, either as a tiebreaker or what have you. So that's just an example of something that I picked up looking at one of my teams this week. So
it's a good point. Good stuff as always. So, yep. Everybody, you guys enjoy your 3-day weekend. Be safe out there. Have some fun. Get your Fab in. Enjoy your whatever you're up to. You enjoy the mountains, Bloomfield. Have some fun with that. I think we're doing the water park opens this weekend, the yearly tradition. We have our season passes. Nice. So we go,
okay.
Little one loves that. So we might go a couple days this week, and I'll go show off my wonderful exercise dad bod and go have some fun running around there. But it'll be fun. So I hope everybody has a good time. Again, you can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 137. Catch y'all next time.